Welcome, everybody, to the Dad Survival Guide podcast. I'm Joe Sanfilippo.
And I'm Raymond Pratt.
Thank you guys so much for joining us for week 609 of social distancing.
Time's just flying right by.
Oh, my God. How many weeks has it really been? I mean, is it 4 weeks now?
4 weeks. I really feel like March had over 400 days in it. I do. I swear to God. There was no way there was only 30 days in fucking March.
I spent a year there, one March.
A year.
God bless, man. We're gonna talk about some new developments potentially, and some stuff that, you know, kids and spouse stuff at home, and we'll talk about maybe a few feelings your kids might be having. Are you making some time for yourself? And then we're gonna talk about movies. We're gonna talk about the movies that maybe you forgot that you would love that you haven't shown your kids yet. This happy, wonderful quarantine.
Maybe there are some movies on there that you shouldn't show your kids, but either way.
Well, if they're old enough, hey, sit down.
We have all stages. You have all stages. I have kids who are still probably, I don't know. My brother showed my kids. When did Deadpool come out? My brother showed them Deadpool when I think Brady was 8, and I was floored. I walked in. I'm like, what are you watching? He's like, Deadpool. I'm like, you realize my kids are like 8, 7, and fucking 4.
No, that's the best, right? If Uncle Frank says it's bad, it must be really John, bad. Thanks, buddy. No, I mean, it's the line from Home Alone. But yes, if Uncle George says it's bad, it must be really bad. All right, well, one of the things that have come across in the last few days or so is this potential treatment from Gilead. This is kind of exciting. This could theoretically be a thing, and hopefully that's something that they're going to utilize to end this thing eventually. What's that?
I said, I think that's pretty much all we have right now is hope.
Yeah. I mean, that's really it. You, and it depends on where you're looking, right? Cause you hear that stuff, and then you hear, that people are testing positive again in South Korea. You're like, oh God, no, please don't do that. And then, guys in Boston saying, no, well, people are getting readmitted to the emergency room and they're worse than they were when we sent them out the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jesus. One thing that's really interesting, and I think that if you're living in different parts of the country and you're hearing this podcast, we're living in two very different worlds right now. I think we're in the middle of kind of like this real-time experiment. Like Florida and Texas are kind of like, well, we're mostly going to be done social distancing. And New York City, Cali, Oregon, Washington, we're all doing like, no, we're still social distancing.
Did Florida and Texas ever really give it a try, though? Or did they just kind of go like, all right, we'll say we did it, but we're not going to do it?
I can't figure out. I mean, Ron DeSantis put his freaking, did you see that picture with that guy? Such a clown. He put his N95 mask he put on backwards. How do you put it? it's interesting. So if you're living in a different part of the country than we are, obviously we're having very different experiences because we're stuck in our houses with our wives and our kids and you just aren't.
That great choice of word stuck.
It's the truth.
We're living in peaceful bliss in our, what's in our that? House. It's peaceful bliss in our houses with our wife and kids.
Yes, we light the incense, we bang the gong. It's just wonderful. Everything's wonderful. So here's something that's going on in our house, and this is we've talked about this before a little bit. We have to take a daily hike, my wife and I. And if we don't, we quickly go insane. And to be clear, my wife and I have never been hikers. We're not hiking people.
Yeah. I was like, Aaron's hiking.
No, we don't drive Subaru Outbacks. We don't have lots of keys and we don't have those,
lots of keys.
We don't have those shoes with the little spots for your toes. We're not hiking.
Oh my God. Those things are awful. Have you bought backpacks yet for your hikes?
No, we're not these people.
You haven't leveled up yet, huh?
No, we're strictly amateur hour, but it's become like this huge part of our day. And more and more people are kind of doing it now. So I wanted to ask you, Ray, what you thought. What is social distancing etiquette when you're hiking? Man. What do you think? Like, if you're on a trail, who moves out the way? If you're going down, do you kind of move off to the side? If you're going up, is it the closest turnout between you and the people that you're about to cross? What do you think?
I'm a hiking freak. And when I come down to see you guys, we hike. I'm always on the side of whoever's got more work to do has the right of way. So I feel like if you're coming up and it looks pretty dicey, you should have the right. I mean, if you're going up, you should have the right of way. I think maybe that's how it goes. Level ground. I don't know. I think maybe you just make eye contact and whoever just is kind of like, I see what you're doing, so I'm going to move to the side. But I think the etiquette should be whoever is coming up should have the right of way, don't you think?
That makes sense to me because you are doing the harder work.
Yeah.
So today we're on a trail, narrow trail, and there's a couple coming down, and it was funny because it was like, you ever come across somebody in this whole situation who's like, you know what? No, I don't give a shit.
You look like an asshole. I'm not moving. I don't know anything about you, but you just look like an asshole because you got a fucking bandana on. You got tribal tattoos and some other shit. So I'm not moving.
You got tribal tattoos. Oh my God. I miss those. So it was funny. Like my wife, she is fully freaked out. Like we walked, we moved off to the side, but I mean, they crossed within like, 2 feet, you know? And
oh boy.
And my wife is she's a hypochondriac, and she's like on our honeymoon, she was convinced that she caught polio, West Nile, both, no doubt in her mind. So this is, she's been, she's just absolutely detox, sanitizing. She's in the shower, her stuff's in the hot wash with the bleach, wow. And I'm like, Jesus, really? Because these people cross within 2 feet. So
they were 24 inches from her. So that's like, it's over.
It's over. It's over. We were walking. I'm like, no one was running. What do you? So let me ask you this, Ray, unrelated. So to lock it up. So we're going to say etiquette wise, if you're going up, you should have the right of way. If you're coming down, you should step off to the side.
If you're coming down, you got the easy work. Just get the fuck out of the way. I mean, come on. Like,
right.
Don't be chesty about it. Don't make it like a, I'm yielding to you because it just get out of the way. It's harder to go up.
You're 1,000% right.
Yeah, I mean, God knows, I'm pretty good at it. I usually move to the left, but I'm telling you right now, if you're looking at me and you're like kind of like just insinuating that you're gonna not move, then I may not move.
Then we're gonna fight on the trail. We're gonna have a social distancing fight, which is weird.
We may touch shoulders a little bit, but I don't know right about now. Maybe I don't want to do that because what if he coughs on me?
That's what I'm saying. Even if you win, you lose. You're taking the, you took the kids hiking today, right?
I did.
Are they, how are they on a hike?
Nobody's wearing masks. I just want to point that out. I mean, like it's now, it's just like, cause I'm in the state of Nevada has said that in public, you need to be wearing masks. And there was a lot of people out there. It was nice. I mean, it got a little cloudy, a little rain, but it was nice to get outside. They were really appreciative of it. They're cooped up in this house. 2 mile hike wasn't too tough. We went uphill. Not a soul had a mask on. I was kind of like, okay, I didn't have a mask on. So I'm not like I'm sitting there judging them, right. But I thought people would have masks on just because everywhere I go now, when I go out, people have masks, but not today.
Well, I think, I don't know how it is by you, but actually I just heard how it is by you. And so I do know, and it's exactly the same out here. So if you go to a grocery store or you're out and about or whatever, everybody's wearing a mask.
Yeah, everybody's like it's the movie outbreaks. Like if you don't look at them, you're going to get like polio or whatever it was, Ebola.
And but as far as hiking goes, I think we've all decided that hiking is kind of like
it's a proximity thing, don't you think? Like a proximity.
Maybe.
Like if you're sharing air with someone, you better have a mask on, no matter if you're like 30 feet apart. But if you're outdoors, like, oh, it's in the air. No one's going to get it out here.
I think you're right.
I mean, reasoning, it sounds pretty reasonable.
And we were the exact same spot. Like we got done passing those people that Erin is still mad at, and she's like, they weren't even wearing a mask. I'm like, we weren't wearing a mask either.
He looked like he wanted to cough on me though, Joe. Why didn't you fight him?
Right, honest to God, it was halfway there.
He had a fox with toes. I didn't want to fight him. He had better ground footing than me.
You remember when those shoes with toes came out? I'm like,
I just saw a lady running on the ground. I was took a bike ride the other day, and I passed by her. And I looked down, I'm like, wow, she's wearing socks, but she's wearing those shoe sock feet things that look like you're fucking amphibious. They're ridiculous, and they can't be fucking comfortable if you're running.
How could they be comfortable? Everybody's toes are different.
And there's what padding and support are you getting? But she was out there doing it, running on the street, and I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah. I guarantee you she has a Subaru Outback. There's no doubt. With a ridiculous number of keys in between the seats. A lot of keys.
Too many hydro flasks in this trunk. What's going on?
I'm glad your kids like to go. I can't get mine to go on a walk.
Like is a strong word.
What's that?
I said like is a strong word.
Oh, okay. Because I can't get mine out of the house. My 12-year-old is like, she's on like a labor action. She's like in a union. She's on like a work slowdown. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to make this walk so miserable for you and mom that you won't ask me tomorrow.
Which is interesting because Lily's like, you know, I don't know. It could have no correlation, but she's a dancer. She's active, but outdoor hiking with mom and dad is probably the end of days because, you know, it's with mom and dad and that's not cool.
No, well, there's no question that's not cool. But it's
also social media probably allowed either, right?
Well, I think it's weird. Like, we were talking to another mom about another moms that my wife's friends with. And I think most of the girls, my daughter's age, the 12, 13, 14, they're all kind of going through this. They don't want to leave their rooms. Like, they're just in this little cocoon they've created. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got, they can FaceTime and get on house party with their friends. And, you know, if they've got a laptop and they got Zoom going on, they're constantly in there TikToking with their buddies. So, I mean, they're constantly interacting with their people, but they're doing it from their rooms. And so for us, we look at it and we're like, oh my God, they're living in a cave and they're all alone.
Yeah.
But for them, they're like, I'm in here with them.
I mean, even when all we had was like phones, and my phone was even cordless. I lived in my room. I was on my phone all day. Everything that mattered to me was in my room. And I didn't have no Xbox. There was nothing in there except a damn phone and a radio where I could record songs off the radio and listen to them in shitty quality. But I lived in my room too.
For those of you who don't remember this, Ray and I, we might be a little bit older than you are. There was a thing called radio, and it would just send out free music. You just had to listen
free
to
music. Commercials.
And when you wanted to record a song and you couldn't go, you didn't have any money to go buy the cassette before the advent of the DVDs, I'm sorry, CDs, you would have to buy the cassette. If you didn't do that and you had blank cassettes, like maybe a Magnavox where the guy would sit in the chair and then the music would hit him and his thing would fly. Remember that? Those commercials from Magnavox? So you would sit there, you plug that into your radio at your house, your little your boombox, and then when the song you wanted to record came on, you hit record and you recorded the song from the radio, and then you could make a mixtape for your girlfriend.
Yes.
And that was pretty much the best thing you could do for anyone.
Do you remember the skill level it took to get the beginning of the song and the end of the song before the DJ fucking ruined the song?
Oh, you had to know, you had to be so good.
PhD and just like in cassette recording from the radio. It was such a gift,
dude. And it, sometimes you knew it was coming because you're like, you kind of pay attention to the rotation a little bit, because usually about 8 or 9 songs are those playing the hell out of at that time, you know, whatever that is, you know. I had what's it at Hollywood Hamilton was it, anyway, we're dating ourselves. You know, I think the irony, not irony, I think what's cool about it is now, like you said, you lived in your room. We all did that. You're right. And now they're in there with like 30 people. And so not like they're alone. They're in there with a whole grip of people. Yeah, so
that's true.
But
I don't think Brady's graduated to that yet. Thankfully, I know he has Zoom on. They all have Zoom on their tablets because of the homeschooling and all that stuff. But he hasn't graduated that. He still locks himself in here and plays Fortnite and does Roblox and plays Legos and. Yeah, it's a dungeon. So,
dude, we've got so goddamn much craft going on in this house.
Ugh.
Oh, Play-Doh. I hate that. I hate Play-Doh so flipping much. It is everywhere.
Yeah, and homemade Play-Doh is even worse because after it dries out, it disintegrates and then it just is permanently in your carpet.
In there, and there's like a spot. Violet yesterday painted. She got a little watercolor kit. She just painted the carpet in her room. Come on, she just went ahead and went for it and just like had a time. She was like I'm looking at her face. I'm like, why does she look so sick? She looked like, you know, like kids have that look that you don't understand until you find out what it was that they did. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like
they
have that look on their face. Like, I did this thing. I'm about to be busted. But in the meantime, I'm not busted yet. So I'm just nervous. Do you know?
Yeah. So it's just sitting on pins and needles waiting for mom and dad to discover what they did. And once they discover it, and then they're like, oh, did I do that? I didn't do that.
Oh, man. She's got this new thing, and I don't know where this has come from, but it's a quarantine behavior. This is brand new. Like, if she gets caught, she just starts yelling. Like, Violet, did you just paint the floor of your room? Just starts
screaming. It's a diversion tactic.
And so her mom and I are like, good God, is the kid broken? What do we do with
it? Well, it takes away the focus from the carpet. Well, the carpet's fucked, but is my kid mental?
Right? I think that's kind of the move. Well, let me ask you this. How are you and Jenny getting along? So far, so good?
So far, so good. Yeah, we we balance it really well. When she's hitting her limit, she will disappear, go on a hike, go do other stuff, spend money, just to get out of the house. It's gotta be tough because she was working, you know, 5 days a week about, you know, full time. And then now it's just been crashed. And now the kids are here 24/7. Luckily our kids have friends that are in the neighborhood that they're kind of like, you know, they're aware, and they know, they trust us that where we go and what we do, we don't expose our kids to unnecessary risks. So they're allowing them to play with each other. So there are, you know, and there are kids in the neighborhood that have kind of been like sequestered and not allowed to play with our kids because their parents are a little suspect. They're always having friends over. And I'm like, is there more than 10 people in that gathering? So those kids, we kind of have not, you know, just plain out said it, but they're like, oh, you know, they're just not able to play today. They're doing homework. Da, da, da. And then they finally kind of got the message. And so they kind of stopped coming over, but they have their core of friends that they play with. So yeah, they're out of the house a lot. The weather is actually nice now. So they're out of the house quite a bit.
Nice. Well, you know, and I think there's something different about having boys too. There's a different, very different dynamic. Like, just get out of the house, go. And then you got a tribe. That's kind of nice too.
What's that?
You got a tribe. You're not sending off one. Got three is a good number to send off.
They're good, and they're all relatively, they're all within 3 years of each other, so they have the same interests. And it's not like my brothers and I, when we were growing up, like my oldest brother is 6 years older than me, so he wanted nothing to do with me by the time I was able to be like, oh, I want to hang out. Because, you know, if I was six, he was 12. He's like, the fuck out of here. You know, Brady's 11, Noah's 9, Cameron's almost 8. So they're all within 3 years of each other. So they all have the same interest. It's just when they get together and they fight over the same interest, that's when it's like kind of like, oh, fuck, I wish there was more distance. But I think we played it right with keeping them close together because they share interests and they can entertain each other without being annoyed by each other all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think on our end, because the kids are so separate in age, or something, there's 9 years and eight, it might be 9 years across the board. Like they have nothing in common. So they just feel like they're just being made responsible for whoever's younger and they don't want to play. But it's interesting to kind of see like some of the things that have changed. Like my oldest is 22 and she's back in the house. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting to see how this is affecting her and her guy, because his mom is having a little bit of a tough time. So he's staying with his mom and helping her out. And Sophia's here. So it's really wild because for that group, you know, if you're a parent of a kid in their early 20s, and they've bounced back, which a lot of them have. I mean, there's a ton of them that are back home, and it's really interesting to. There's not much to compare it to in our lives, but they're really having to start over. No, and they just got started. What's that?
Does he come over? Her boyfriend?
No, he was for the first few days when they came back from Vegas when this all was getting underway, and then. They were here for, I think, a week and a half. And then they went to his parents, his mom's for a week and a half. And then Sophia came back over here and he's staying over there because his mom's having, like I said, a little bit of a tough time with all this. Okay. And so it's really very, very tough for them because they're trying to feel their way through to becoming adults. And now they're back in their parents' house. And then you got to navigate all that, like you're an adult, but you're in my house kind of shit, which is not easy. Yeah. It's very tricky. And I do wonder, you know, I've got friends that have boys her age and we're men now. I mean, they're grown ass. Now they're men. You're in your early 20s. It's interesting. I feel like there's a different dynamic. When you have your daughter back, it's one thing. When you have a boy back, now you got two men occupying the same space. That's kind of tricky. Yeah.
Alpha syndrome, huh?
It's a thing, man. And then, you know,
I mean, my kids aren't old enough yet. They're still terrified of me. When I raise my voice, they look at me like, oh shit, am I going to die today?
Right.
And I don't hit them. Today. It's just the volume thing for them. I think it scares the shit out of them. Cause,
oh yeah.
You know, you go from, you know, Joe mode to dad Joe mode. And that's a serious mode when there's a tone change. My kids know it right off the bat.
Oh yeah. Oh, they do. And I think that may be why Violet is responding the way she is when she messes up, with just because it's there's a volume change and there's, you know, there's nowhere to go. So mm-hmm.
there's nowhere to go.
But she's really started doing some very naughty stuff. She's just turned full blown naughty.
It's not used to being in the house this long.
No, sir.
There's no outlet. Boy.
What's that?
So there's just no outlet for her, you know. No. She's just being in school, running around screaming and doing crazy things that they do at school. And I've learned really quickly that your kids don't respect you like they respect their teacher.
They no, really because, don't. Yeah, you're 100% right. The teacher it's gets not, the love.
Noah will do some shit. And I'm like, would you do that with Mrs. Meyer? He's like, no. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing it to me for? Like, sit your ass down and do your homework. Because he's like, because she's like, oh, Noah's always a self-starter. He does all this by himself. He doesn't need much guidance. But here, I ask him to write a paragraph about what he read. He goes, I don't know how. I'm like, bullshit. I've seen the stories you've come up with at school. But he, you know, he's just trying to test to see if the laziness is going to kick in, which God knows I've wanted it to kick in and be like, just fucking figure it out. So I'll just make him do it. I'm not going to do it for him. It's maddening to sit there and watch them try to play you like that. You're like, I know what you're doing. I was a kid.
I wrote this book.
I wrote this book and I'm giving it to you, but don't use it against me.
Right? I've forgotten more bullshit than you've tried yet.
Exactly.
Yeah. Are you finding any time for yourself? Are you finding some time to kind of, I don't know, be alone in your quarantine?
I've been working so much, but there's another topic that just changed. But yeah, I find time. Like, yeah, actually, I get up at 5 a.m, which, you know, I know you guys make fun of me for that, but that's like the time. It's an hour and a half to 2 hours that I can just sit there and not have to worry about, like, you know, getting someone food, making someone this, entertaining them. Cause, you know, they want you to play with them. They want you to feed them. They want you to, which I love doing, but you also need, like you just said, you need that time just to chill. So I'll sit there, I'll listen to some podcasts, or I'll read some news, music, and then I'll exercise, which is great, you know, time for me. I went on a bike ride, which I hadn't done in, God, I can't even remember the last time I took a bike ride. I went on like a 9-mile bike ride, bit off more than I can fucking chew. Cause you realize when you go down big hills, the only way back home is to go back up those hills.
That's it, Jack.
And shamelessly, I had to pull over and stop once, only once. 8 miles uphill is fucking not easy.
No.
But yeah, I'm finding time. I'm finding time for myself. How about you? What are you doing?
You know, my deal is always, it always happens. I'm not a planner for the most part when it comes to this kind of thing. So it's usually a result of like, it'll all build up and then explode. And then does that make any sense?
It's like, all of you.
I'll just wig out. Just wig the fuck out. Like, like, you know, I did the other day, the kids were just being shitty and we were trying to plan like, we were trying to do like a drive. We're going to drive up to Vasquez Rocks and you know, the one was pouting, the other one was yelling, this one didn't want to go. But finally I said, you know what? I just left. And Aaron chases me out of the house. And it was like, she's like, you can't just do this. I'm like, oh, I'm doing it. And so I eventually got reeled back in. But that's usually how I realize, like, oh yeah, you need to calm the fuck down. You need a valve to be released here.
Yeah, we all need space, man. You guys are, yeah. I mean, you guys, and like, you know, exercising together is an outlet, but it's still, I mean, like that time, like you said, for yourself, by yourself.
So, yes. Yeah, so I found
quarantined.
That's it. And I went to the cigar shop that I haven't been to in a minute. And I got myself some very nice cigars. And the beautiful thing about cigars is they smell, to me, I think they smell wonderful. So I happen to love them, but no one else in this family does. So the smell is a wonderful way to get rid of everyone.
Wow, and that's like repellent.
What's that?
It's like its own citronella candle. It keeps all the bugs away. You know, your cigar is like your citronella candle.
It's terrific. It's a human citronella. It's perfect. Look at that. Everybody just went away.
You want one.
So that was great. I'm sitting out there on the patio and I'm like having my, I just finished a cigar. And I'm like, you know what? I'm a grown ass man. I'm going to have another one.
I'm a grown ass man. I'll have another one.
Do whatever the fuck I want.
And in honor of one of our really close friends, did you light that son of a bitch and just leave it on the edge of the table for 45 minutes?
Dr. Braswell, ladies and gentlemen.
Braswell. This is a supreme cigar waster. I'll smoke this one. No, you won't. Yes, I will. Give him a cigar, lights it, leaves it on the table. 45 minutes later, get a cigar. Nothing. Not even a puff.
Nothing. Nothing. I love him.
Criminal. Criminal.
Criminal. Never give him a good one. There's no reason to. He's not going to smoke it.
Give him a Swisher Sweet and just call it a day.
Oh, terrible. Make you crazy, man. Of course I want a cigar. Oh, why am I going to give you a cigar? I shouldn't have even offered. Prime cigar waster of all time. Well, let me ask you this. We've been kind of like going through all of the possible streaming universes and watched all the movies on Earth, and we rented the new Trolls movie and all that. Great, everything's fine.
Was it good?
Say that's great. Everything's great.
I wasn't a fan of the first one, so the second one couldn't have been. Was it better?
It's fine. It's good. It's good. Nothing wrong with it. And I'm glad that I think it'll be interesting to see if they try and make this a thing where, like, hey, you guys, for, you know, X amount of dollars, you guys can not go see it in the theater. We'll see how long that works for. I think that'll work for a couple of movies now. I don't think it'll work long term. But it was good. It was good. It was cute. But it's now. Let's talk about the five movies, because we're going to say five. What are the five movies, Raymond, that you should watch again whilst you're in isolation? And I think this may be movies you've forgotten about, or maybe movies that you maybe want to show your kids. Maybe they don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I don't know. I could have been pretentious and went like obscure movies and like movies that, you know, no one has seen in 30 years. But what's the fucking point? No one's going to go dig around and look for Hitchcock's Lost, Notorious, Cary Grant movie. So
no. Fun movies.
I think I picked from a pretty wide category. And no discernible order. I went with Fight Club.
Yes. Also on my list.
Yeah. Fletch. One of the all time funniest movies. I that movie is probably at least 30 years old. And every time I watch it, I love it even more.
Chevy that was Chase. When the cocaine worked for Chevy Chase. And he was very funny.
The cocaine worked for Chevy Chase.
Perfect. Whoever was providing the coke for Chevy Chase at that time, you were doing the nation of service.
And then I feel like, I've just rewatched all of the Marvel movies in order of the universe, not in like the way they're released in theaters, but in the order of the universe. So I powered through, I think it's 24 of them, which is a sad statement of my life.
24?
It's 24 of them.
Wow.
And they include the Incredible Hulk, but not the other Hulk movie. The one with, what's his name?
Ed Norton.
Ed Norton, there you go. And then, so out of all those, I think I picked the one that has the most balance, Thor Ragnarok. I love that movie because it's got good drama. It's hilarious. Then I went with one of my childhood favorite movies, Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. Yes.
And then I feel like every man, you got to have a good Western in there. So I went with Tombstone, one of my all-time favorites. And I know this is probably a sore subject for you because...
Well, let's take a moment. I mean, let's take like 30 seconds. And this is the divide between the universe, right? Are you a Tombstone person or a Wyatt Earp person?
100%. I mean, not that I dislike Wyatt Earp.
I'll just come out and say it, Ray.
Tombstone, 100% Tombstone. It's, I don't know, I feel like Wyatt Earp is just so self-indulgent. It's like Kevin Costner and Gene Hackman are just masturbating on each other about how good of an actor they can be.
Oh, stop. Okay, listen. I will say that I am a Wyatt Earp person. I think
3 hours.
Three hours, because it gets so much more of the story.
Three plus.
I'm not going to win this argument. There's no winner or loser. I'm just saying, I'm going to go Wyatt Earp every single time.
It's Kevin a good Costner, movie. It's a good movie.
They're both good. It's the War of the Mustaches. I mean, that's what this is.
That's which mustache you prefer.
This is the War of the Mustaches, where Tom Selleck stood above them and nodded with his arms crossed. Yes, you may fight, but we all know who the real king is.
I don't know. I see your point. I just, whenever I start to watch Wyatt Earp, I'm like, okay, I have to invest. This is a 3-hour like marathon, as opposed to Tombstone. It's condensed. It's got action. It's got great lines, great quotes, acting.
I'll be a Huckleberry. That's a great line. I gave you on that one. All right, well, I'll pick up right there then, because that's actually where I teed off.
Okay.
And my top my top five, I'll say the crossover is Wyatt Earp versus Tombstone.
Okay.
Which we already talked about. And Fight Club. Fight Club is just as poignant right now as it was the day it came out.
It's a brilliant movie.
Brilliant.
I think Fincher's
I think my 13-year-old, she turns 13 in 2 weeks. I think she'd be down for that. My 22-year-old definitely be down for that. So I might show them Fight Club. Die Hard. I showed my kids Die Hard, not the 4-year-old.
Right?
But Lily watched Die Hard with us, and at the end she's like, I don't get it. Like
exactly what my kids are. Dad, what is he? He has no shoes on. Don't his feet hurt? I'm like, stop asking all the questions. Just watch the movie.
Like
he's in a can you find shoes? I'm like, that's not the point.
That's not the point.
Of course he can find issues, but that's not the point of the movie.
That's because he's hard to kill him. He's die hard.
He's die hard.
He's not die easy.
They poke holes in that thing, and I'm like, and I'm thinking, oh, just look, let's watch the movie.
The worst movie. And you know, they're looking at us too, because like you're saying the lines, like yippee-ki-yay, mother, and they're looking at you like, what the fuck, man? You're such a clown. So yeah, the kids did not get Die Hard at all. Top Gun. Top Gun to me. Oh, Tom Cruise apologist. I will never. I love him. That's it. Mm-hmm. I think Lily's takeaway from Top Gun was, that's cool, but what was up with the volleyball? Why was everybody so
why is everybody so sweaty?
And then the other one is on my list is Pulp Fiction, which I'm not going to show the children.
Well, that one is definitely not. That scene where she just drives that needle into his chest just fucking ruins me every time.
Oh my god!
I don't have a Tarantino movie on there. I mean, I could have went with Inglourious Basterds. I love that movie too.
No, it's fun as hell, right?
Rains. Solid list. That's a solid list too.
Oh yeah. But at any rate, we'll jump back all up into this stuff next week and we'll see where we're at. Hopefully some new fun and interesting things are going on.
Yeah.
In the meantime, as always, hug your kids, tell them you love them, and show them Die Hard and watch them laugh at you. Getting excited about it.
Die Hard, Deadpool, whatever you want to show them, just let them watch it.
If Uncle George says it's bad, it must be good.
If he's letting them watch it, what's wrong with a couple F-bombs and just savage brutality?
Right? Savage. All right, well, we'll see you guys next time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Stay safe.